Well, for the past week or so, my husband Brian, has been working on repairing our utility trailer that we've had for a while, and it's gotten to be in pretty sad shape. So, the repair process initially looked like tearing off all the rotted wood, stripping down the trailer nearly to its frame, removing the old destroyed tires and rusty wheels, changing the way the axle connected to the leaf spring to make space for new, larger wheels. I found myself wondering if the trailer could talk. would it say, "Is he remaking me or destroying me?" And yet, now that it's done, except for a new coat of paint, it's recognizably the same trailer, made whole and useful again. In our text for today, we have a lot of language about, you know, tearing up and plucking up, tearing down and consuming fire, right? And then we also have this story in the gospel of Jesus' healing of this woman who has been bound. You know, there are easy healings and there are hard ones. In today's gospel, Jesus offers healing in at least two ways. He heals the woman who has been crippled for 18 years, unbinding and freeing her so that she can stand tall again. And if you think about it, that initial healing is easy. She stands up. But it's likely that the ongoing healing will be painful, because she'll have to learn to stand and walk in a way that her body has forgotten. She will have to use muscles that she hasn't used for years, and that's going to hurt. Jesus offers healing to the synagogue leader and the whole community, too. He challenges them to be unbound from a rigid interpretation of the law, because their interpretation stands in the way of God's healing love. It prioritizes the rules over human wholeness. And changing would mean admitting that their interpretation was too narrow and harsh. They'd have to tear down and throw away some rules that they defined themselves by, but that have harmed others. And the process would be painful if they really wanted to listen to Jesus' words. It would be painful, but it would be healing for the whole community. You know, that's a process that the early church went through around the question of circumcision. They had to throw away a rule that had defined God's community. It was the boundary setter on who was in and who was out. It was not small. And it caused a lot of pain in the early years of the church. And yet, discarding that rule opened the way for people of all nations to join the Christian community. Many churches in recent years have gone through a similar painful process around the question, first of all, of women's ordination, and then of the admission, the full inclusion of LGBTQIA+. People in the church's life. It was, and for some denominations continues to be, an extremely painful process. But oh, what wholeness it has brought to our church communities. What giftedness, what joy to welcome fully so many of God's children who were not allowed to be themselves within the Christian church. Healing is not always easy. You know, sometimes we know that we're sick and we long for healing. And other times, we have no idea that anything's wrong. Like an undiagnosed cancer, sickness can grow within us without our even being aware of it. And some sicknesses will destroy us over time if they are not treated. And some sicknesses, like undiagnosed COVID, might destroy other people without appearing to hurt us much at all. Sometimes the healing process is more painful than the disease. And yet without it, we will be destroyed, or we will destroy others. Jesus comes to us always, offering healing, offering salvation, offering wholeness. But sometimes saying yes to what Jesus offers means saying yes to pain. Because the salvation that Jesus brings is more than mere forgiveness. It is divine love, a love that will not let us go until it has made us as lovely as its source. Sometimes that means plucking up and tearing down what we have made of ourselves so that God can build something new, still recognizably us, and yet whole and strong. Sometimes it means shaking and sifting our lives so that the junk and dirt are separated out, and only what is useful and good remains. The passage from Hebrews today describes God as consuming fire. I have long loved this image of God, but I will admit that it is a scary one. But I hold it together with the understanding that God is love. God's fire is the fire of love and mercy. And even here in Hebrews, we hear it together with this image of the word Jesus' blood spilled that speaks a better word than the word of Abel, right? Abel's blood, spilled by his brother Cain, cried out to God for vengeance. Jesus' blood, spilled by our human rejection, cried out for forgiveness, for mercy, because that's who God is. And God's fire is the fire of love, is the fire of mercy. And even when it burns things up, it is meant not to destroy, but to heal. It frees us to grow. Now, I imagine that when most of us think of fires these days, especially of consuming ones, we think of forest fires. And we've seen some pretty scary ones. Close by, and we're still in recovery from the fire up beyond Lincoln City. And farther away, we've got a forest fire burning by Sisters right now. And we tend to think of forest fires as entirely destructive. But sometimes the problem is that we haven't allowed the forest to burn when it needed to. Because forest fires of the right size and strength clear underbrush and create a healthier forest. The Native Americans knew that, and they used them. And there are plants that need fire in order for their seeds to sprout. Lodgepole pines, for example, they're the first trees to grow after a fire. They have cones that are resinous, and the seeds are trapped inside until fire melts them. Fire isn't just about destruction. Sometimes it's about new life and growth. Now, I don't mean to suggest that God causes all the suffering in our lives. It's a common theology, and I think it's a wrong one. The reasons for our suffering are complex and varied. Now, sometimes what hurts, like it hurt for the synagogue leader in today's gospel, is simply a truth we don't want to hear, however much we may need to. And sometimes the suffering we experience is because we have truths we need to listen to that we're trying our hardest to shut out. But other times, suffering is the natural consequence of our poor choices and our sins. And other times, what we suffer is the natural consequence of others' sins, or sometimes the direct consequence of it, because people are choosing to harm, and we're caught in the way. And sometimes, suffering happens because of the freedom of the creation and the interaction of its many parts. A tsunami, a flood. Suffering in itself is not good, nor does suffering in itself purify us. All of us know how differently people respond to suffering. Two people may suffer very similar kinds of experiences. One will be destroyed by it, and the other will be transformed and deepened. What's the difference? Suffering in itself is not redemptive. It is God's presence in the midst of suffering, God's presence in the midst of the fire, that opens the way for the fire to refine rather than destroy us. I've been thinking of life as being like a potter's wheel. And here I'm not imagining God as spinning the wheel, but as the wheel just spinning, right? And we're like a lump of clay on it. Now, if we're just sitting on that spinning life wheel, that lump of clay, what's going to happen? Untouched, we're going to spread, we may fly apart, we may just become a misshapen blob kind of lying there on the wheel. But God's hand touching that clay, pressure within, pressure without, shaping us as the wheel spins. Those hands hold us together. Those hands shape us into something good and useful and beautiful. That's God's love. That's God's presence with us. Because God's longing for us is always to make us whole. God is the fire, as George MacDonald says, who burns up what we call ourselves in order that the selves God made may remain. May God help us all to say yes to the healing that God offers. Amen.